Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Monday, absolutely packed, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Week from today, we're in Miami, baby. 1 hour from now, Colin right, Colin wrong. Love shows like today. Love shows like today. Joy Taylor off a weekend in New Orleans and watching football games joins us. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. I am so excited for the Super Bowl.
Oh, sometimes you kind of root a little bit, you know? Kind of easier to root for Mahomes than Tannehill. I'm not going to lie about that.
Look, we got what we wanted.
Yes.
We got what we wanted, but I think it's going to be a very interesting game.
So let me start with a team I didn't buy all year. I said all year with Green Bay, I don't care about the record. I don't care about stats. I just know what my eyes tell me, and this is a 9-7 football team masquerading as 14-3. And yesterday's a prime example of Green Bay, pushed all over the field. If you look at the stats, 7 yards of play, Aaron 31 of 39, had more first downs, great on third down, 2 for 2 on fourth, time of possession. Green Bay, if you just looked at the stats, twice they played the Niners. They were outscored 50-0 in the first half. Green Bay is a finesse team, and the stats and their record didn't fool my eyes. I didn't buy them all year. Their defense is opportunistic, but we've all watched great defenses before. They jump through the television set. They punch you in the forehead. This defense doesn't scare anybody. It didn't want any part of those running backs yesterday. Half the guys in the back end of that defense looked intimidated. I watched a fight in the Octagon this weekend, Cowboy Cerrone and Conor McGregor. The Octagon gets very small when you're the second toughest guy in the Octagon. It gets really small. And San Francisco is like Conor McGregor. They'll take anybody on anytime. And Green Bay looked a lot like Cowboy Cerrone. Let me get out of here. I'm not comfortable. I think Green Bay got very lucky this year. I don't think they're untalented. They won their division, and that takes something. But Green Bay got lucky. They faced Patrick Mahomes, or they faced Kansas City. Mahomes was out. Their division unraveled, the Bears and the Lions. They got lucky in the playoff. They were healthy all year. Then in the playoffs, Minnesota upsets the Saints, and they get a Seattle team instead of the Saints. Seattle fell apart 2 weeks earlier. Everything went their way. I always trust my eyes. Then I go to stats to see if the stats tell me what I think my eyes tell me. You could not watch Green Bay this year get pushed around by Philadelphia, pushed around by the Chargers, pushed around by San Francisco. Hell, they were an 8-point underdog at 14-3. An 8-point underdog. That's insane. I don't even know. Has there ever been a 14-3 team that's over a touchdown underdog against Jimmy Garoppolo? It's not like they were facing Mahomes. Like, I get 8-point underdog to Mahomes, to Jimmy Garoppolo? Come on now, to a young 49ers team? Do you know that Green Bay only beat one playoff team all year that had their starting cornerback? Minnesota. And in the two games they faced San Francisco and got into the Octagon, 106 yards for Aaron Rodgers, a pick, and a 52 passer rating. And I've said this about Aaron Rodgers in the first half. Let me say this about Aaron Rodgers. He's very good, obviously. He's very talented. But I think his mythology now is greater than the reality. Did you see him in the first half? You think he was good? He was missing on little stuff out into the flat. He had fumbles. He had picks. He played it safe. You know, Aaron's talented. I'm not denying that. But I said this going into the game. You better crank it up. You better throw some haymakers against this team because they're going to smell it. Just like an Octagon. The tougher guy in the Octagon can smell the fear. They say animals can smell fear. Like San Francisco could smell Minnesota's fear a week ago. They could smell that Minnesota didn't want to get Kirk Cousins in harm's way. San Francisco could smell the fraudulent Packers' fear. dump offs, quick hits, get out. Little Cam Newton there with Aaron Rodgers, fumbles lost. I'm not getting in that pile. I got nothing against Green Bay. But they're our team. Remember this year we got into this big thing? Everybody was freaking out. I can't believe that somebody is going to win the NFC East, the Cowboys and the Eagles, and they're going to be 8-8. They should have to go on the road. Time out. Philadelphia went to Lambeau and rolled Green Bay. They're not worthy of a home playoff game? I can make an argument Green Bay, based on my eyes, was never worthy of a home playoff game. If Seattle didn't get banged up on the O-line and at running back, Seattle should have been hosting Green Bay if it's all about what you think and record and this and that. Listen, I got nothing against Green Bay. I'll say it again. But I'm not a stat guy, and I'm not a guy that looks at all the glossy numbers and stats, and you are telling me all this stuff. All I know is when I watched Green Bay play San Francisco twice, they were Cowboy Cerrone. They had no interest being in that octagon. Now, Aaron Rodgers says we are very, very, and for the record, what have I said about Aaron Rodgers now? He doesn't like discomfort. He doesn't like playing on the road. But he thinks they're very close to San Francisco.
Well, it looks pretty big. You know, they've got us a couple times, but I don't think it's that big. I think we're really close. I think we're just, just a little more consistent performance away from consistently playing with these guys. But, you know, we got them at home, their place, twice. I've said this before, you know, we got to get one of these at home. It's a different ball game. It's different, you know, playing in 20-degree weather and snow, cold and wind is a different type of game than playing here.
Okay. All right. Well, you could earn that had you beaten Philadelphia at home. could earn that if you'd have gone on to San Francisco and won on the road. Yeah, you got to win those uncomfortable games. For the record, I think Green Bay is the poorest coached, the least talented, and the least physical of the final four teams that survived in the NFL playoffs. So is that close? You make the call. I don't think it is. All right, let me shift to a happier story. I love Andy Reid. I love smart. I love tough. I love clever. I like creative. I like talented. And I like Andy Reid. Check, 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 check. I'm very happy for them. One of the things I love about excellence, and I've said this before, I don't root for the underdog. I root for great. I rooted for Kobe. I rooted for Shaq. I rooted for Michael Jordan. I rooted for the Warriors. I root for the Yankees. I want to watch history. I root for great. I root for excellence. You want to root for George Mason? Knock yourself out. I root for Duke. I want 36-0. I like to see Kentucky go on rolls. We're different that way. I've always argued everybody plays the lottery for the same reason. We all want to be rich. When we don't win, we just hate what we're not. But there's nobody playing the lottery because they want to be middle class. We're all rooting for great. We want to be great, and we want to be excellent. We want to eat excellent. We want to fly excellent. We want to stay at excellent. What I love about Patrick Mahomes is that he's great, and great creates clarity. Half the teams in this NFL can't have an honest conversation with themselves about their quarterback. Chicago's trying to convince himself we got the right guy. Half the teams in this league use qualifiers to explain their quarterback. Well, he's good at home if you give him a great tight end and an excellent running game. You watch Kirk Cousins against San Francisco pick up two first downs in the first half. Compare him to Mahomes. You saw Ryan Tannehill this weekend trailing, trying to go toe-to-toe against Patrick Mahomes. What'd that look like? Kansas City for years. You know Alex Smith is good enough. No, he's not. He's good. But he's not good enough. Patrick Mahomes creates clarity. For the next 10 years, Andy Reid's calling and designing the plays. Mahomes is slinging it. They'll draft great weapons. This is the offensive bar. Stop going into rooms. What do they say? The hardest person to be honest with is yourself. Stop trying to convince yourself that the Tannehills and the Trubiskys and the Kirk Cousins, or even, I would argue, the Cam Newtons. This is the bar. Okay? Well, Colin, once you pay Mahomes big money, they won't have the weapons. You're right. But like Russell Wilson, he'll still make them great. You don't think Travis Kelce's numbers are inflated because of Mahomes? I like Tyreek Hill, too. You think you put him with every other quarterback in the league and Tyreek Hill is getting that ball softly in his hands, Sammy Watkins, perfectly timed? Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. They'll have to move off some of their players because of Patrick Mahomes' salary. That's okay. Russell Wilson's never had a great receiving core, never had a great offensive line, and he's one play from two Super Bowls. The NFL, unlike the NBA, is not beholden to one player for ratings. But I'll tell you this, if I ran a network, I would put Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid on television every week. I'd be fighting for him for Monday Night Football. I'd be fighting for him for Thursday Night Football. And I also think Mahomes, not only is he a great talent, and certainly he benefits from Andy Reid and the playmakers. We all get the game here. Nobody lives on an island. As good as LeBron is, he was much better with D. Wade and Chris Bosh than Matthew Dellavedova, right? Like, we all get Kobe Bryant was way better with Shaq and Pau Gasol than the years he didn't have either. We all get that, right? Nobody lives on an island. Everybody needs help. But I would say Mahomes does remind me a little bit of Steph Curry in Kansas City Golden State. Steph Curry would be great in any time, but it does help that he plays in a league that you can't hand check, and he's a smaller guard, and that coaches are encouraging three-point shots. It plays to his strengths. And it does help that Patrick Mahomes doesn't play in 1960s, 70s, 80s, or early 90s, where coaches really believe passing gets you in trouble. It's a passing league. You can't touch receivers. That allows Kansas City to go get track guys, run as fast as you can. They don't worry about getting hit. And Patrick's got the golden arm. This is the way football, if you look at the rules designed by the NFL or the NBA, the NBA wants you to look like Golden State last year, and they want you to look like Kansas City now. Hard not to root for them. They check all the boxes. They're smart. They're fun. They're clever. They're cool. They're tough. They're exciting, and they're going to Miami. Arrow heading to Miami. Here's Andy Reid after.
Where's the trophy? Man. Listen, first of all, I'm so happy for the Hunt family and bringing that trophy back here. Wow, how great is that? That's right. That's right. Fired up. Fired up to go to Miami. Need to get on a diet so I can fit in my clothes so we can go do our thing. But very proud. Very proud of everybody and the job that they did.
Oh, can't wait.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Here's the way it works in our business. Once somebody gets famous and popular, if you offer any criticism, you're a hater. I would vote Aaron Rodgers into the Hall of Fame first ballot. He's not one of my favorite six or seven quarterbacks I've ever seen. I like Breeze better for a lot of leadership reasons, and I think leadership is huge. I think it's one of the reasons I like Deshaun Watson and Mahomes and Carson Wentz and Goff. I think they have the right temperament, but Aaron's great. But I have been I was the first national guy about 7-8 years ago that offered criticism, that he was condescending. He could be moody. You know, he had family members call him out. Sometimes he's aloof. So the pom-pom waivers, every time Aaron loses a big game, the pom-pom waivers come out. What about the defense? Let's revisit this. First of all, is it the defense's fault that Aaron Rodgers in two games against San Francisco didn't score a point? I mean, none? Is that the defense's fault? Aaron Rodgers did not play well in the first half. A couple of fumbles. He had a pick. He wasn't real self-aware in the pocket. I thought he was inaccurate even on swing passes. Something else. His numbers dropped this year with Mike McCarthy. Stop blaming Mike McCarthy. Took another shot at him yesterday. Stop blaming Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy's a better football coach than Matt LaFleur. Get over it. One of them's got a Super Bowl. One of them couldn't score points this year consistently in the third quarter. Here's another thing. Aaron's not a very good road quarterback. He's not. He's 500. And he's bad as a road quarterback in the playoffs. Amongst his contemporaries, Tony Romo, Breeze, Russell Wilson, Brady, Manning, Ben. He's easily got the worst road record. He's got a worse road record percentage than Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan's numbers don't fall off a cliff like Aaron's can on the road. I'll get to that in a second. Here's another thing. Of the 12 playoff teams, only Buffalo, with Josh Allen, had more three and outs this year. Aaron doesn't help his defense at times because Aaron, as a GM once told me, he's Jay Cutler with much more talent. He's moody. He can be condescending. He's not liked by all teammates. We've had multiple call him out. He can be thin-skinned. He can be defensive. He can be aloof. Here's another thing. Aaron bails. He bails on coaches. He bailed on McCarthy last year. He bails on plays. He led the NFL in throwaways last year. He just bails on stuff. I quit. He quit on McCarthy. He quits on plays. He's quit on teammates. He won't throw to anybody on this team, not named Jimmy Graham or Davante Adams. That's why they only Buffalo of the 12 playoff teams had more three and outs. Aaron bails on people, coaches, assistants, plays, teammates that he doesn't like. You can't do that if you want to win on the road. I'll give you an example. Russell Wilson has a great road record. Russell Wilson could constantly bail on his coach. Pete Carroll calls plays like he's Blake Bortles. Seattle's play calling against Green Bay stunk. They treat Russell Wilson like he's less than Andy Dalton. They try to configure some running game when they're on their fifth-string running back. Seattle rarely has a good offensive line. They've had to fire multiple offensive line coaches. They never, ever, it feels like to me, get it right at wide receiver or tight end. They either get guys like, you know, Jimmy Graham too late or receivers you've never heard of. And Russell Wilson never bails on him. He supports his coaches. He supports his teammates. He supports the plays. He fights to the end on every play. You may not like Russell Wilson. Has there ever been a player that fights for every inch on every play? I mean, the kid is so... But that's why Russell Wilson's good on the road. Because on the road, you don't get the weather, you don't get the crowd, you got to fight through stuff. And Russell Wilson's a fighter. Aaron's not. This bails on a play. This bails on a receiver. I don't trust that guy. I don't trust this coach. I don't trust that play. That's why he's a bad road quarterback. Tony Romo was a fighter. Breeze is a fighter. Brady's a fighter. Manning's a fighter. Big Ben's a fighter. Aaron's not. Aaron likes it when it's all comfortable. And the road isn't about comfort. He's a bailer. I've worked with people like this. Road gets tough, boom, Seacrest out, exit stage right. And I think that goes a long way in explaining why he's such a bad road quarterback and why, next to Josh Allen, Green Bay, with Aaron Jones, with Aaron Rodgers, with clever Matt LaFleur, with Davante Adams, only Buffalo had more three and outs? What? It's what happens when you have a bailer at quarterback. Oh, you don't like him. It's not about that. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Fame, but talent has a ceiling. Quarterback is about toughness, body language, fighting, leadership. There's a million things it's about. It's not just about, hey, this guy's got a great arm. I mean, yes, that's awesome. Jay Cutler had a great arm. I mean, Jeff George had a great arm. Aaron's better than both, obviously. But the pom-pom waivers, do we have an Aaron Rodgers bite? The pom-pom waivers out in full force today. For Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, go to your local radio station near Milwaukee to defend Aaron Rodgers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Calling right, calling wrong. I whiff all the time. Got to hold myself accountable. So every Monday, we used to just do it in the football season, but now we do it year-round. Where was I right? Where was I wrong? Last 7-10 days.
Where Colin was right?
We said Green Bay better be aggressive early because San Francisco's going to smell blood. And Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay in that first half looked a lot like Minnesota. Dink and dunk, take no risks, and San Francisco smelled it. For the second time, Green Bay played it safe in the first half against the Niners. I don't think you can do it. When you fight Tyson, you got to land something in the first round, or he'll sense it and smell it. By the way, in the second half, they took more shots. And in the second half, they delivered on some of their shots. You cannot be safe. You watch Kansas City against San Francisco, and they're going to struggle to block that defensive front of San Francisco. They're going to take big shots down the field to force San Francisco to back off. And I think Matt LaFleur played it safe. Aaron dumped it off too much, and the Niners sensed it.
where Colin was wrong.
Well, being reliant on Patrick Mahomes apparently is working. I've said before about Kansas City, my concern is when you have a great quarterback, teams sometimes can get too reliant on their great quarterback. And Mahomes has led Kansas City in rushing in both playoff games. He is an outlier. He's got the right coach and the right weapons. They are the exception. They didn't run the ball much. At one point yesterday, I think they ran it three or four straight times, and Tony Romo just started laughing. I don't love football teams. I think Seattle too often is built for Russell Wilson to save the world. I think Aaron Rodgers 6-7 years ago, they were too reliant on Aaron Rodgers. Kansas City at times can be a little reliant on Patrick Mahomes saving the day, but they're in the Super Bowl, so what do I know?
Where Colin was right.
We've been on this Niner thing for a couple years here. We said Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be a big success. We were right. He's in a Super Bowl. We said Kyle Shanahan is the best young coach in football, not Sean McVay. And we like Sean McVay, but we said Shanahan's the genius here. We said they'd be the most improved team in the NFL this year. Now, I didn't think they'd get to the Super Bowl, but we said they were the safest double-your-win bet in Vegas. So we've been on this thing for a couple years. I watched Kyle Shanahan go from team to team to quarterback and just made everybody better. Their growth is faster than I predicted, but we're not shocked they're here, and we kind of called it a couple years ago. Watch out. This is the future, potentially, of the NFC, not the Rams.
Where Colin was wrong.
Another Tom Brady story about him being open to leaving. You know, I thought this story kind of had fake news written all over it, you know. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, let's bring a Tom Brady story out. But there was a story this weekend that he's unhappy with his salary and he's not going to be the 15th highest paid quarterback anymore. And when stuff like that comes out, that can come from an agent or Tom. That's sending a message. So I think the market's small for Tom because of his age and lack of athletic ability. His offensive lines have gotten worse over the last 5 years, thanks to the new CBA and spread football in college. But there's more here than I thought initially, and it's not going away, and people I trust are breaking more stories on him, so it's a real thing.
Where Colin was right.
Speaking of old quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers has moved to Florida, and I think that signals the end of his Charger run. Listen, when you're old, unathletic, and mistake-prone, football's not built for you anymore. And we had said this during the season. Like, let's move off this. It's Tom's unathletic. Phillip takes it to another level. He's the most unathletic quarterback right now in the league. He's had a great career. He's going to get Hall of Fame votes. I love him. And I do think, you know, I think 15 years ago he would have gotten another big contract. I think the shelf life now for his style, a lot of mistakes, not really athletic, not a lot of great O-lines out there, is limited. They're going to get a Justin Herbert or a Tui. They're going to be fine. Tua. They're going to move up in the draft if they have to get a quarterback. But we called this. We said early in the season, this thing has run its course. They're moving to a new stadium. They got to add some juice to the franchise.
Where Colin was wrong.
Boy, LSU proved me wrong on about a million levels. So Ed Orgeron wins a natty. I didn't see that coming. Joe Burrow is going to be the number one pick. I didn't see that coming. LSU is going to go 15-0 and be led by their offense. What? I didn't see that coming. Talk about off-brand. LSU being the Kansas City Chiefs of college football is like the Big 12 deciding to play defense. Everything about this, Orgeron, Joe Burrow, LSU becoming a progressive offense, it just is so off-brand. But they deserve all the love. They were clearly better than Clemson. And that's hard for me to say because I really like Clemson, but they were absolutely top to bottom, a much better team than Clemson. And I was wrong.
Where Colin was right.
I love me some Andy Reid. I mean, Andy Reid doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He gives Belichick fits. Belichick hates playing him. He's now taken two teams to the Super Bowl, one in the AFC, one in the NFC. And by the way, he has the second best record in the history of the NFL in bye weeks. So good luck to San Francisco, because Andy Reid is tough when he doesn't get extra time. When you give the scientist, the schematic genius, another 4 or 5 days in the film room, it's going to be all sorts of wizardry and crazy stuff. I love this guy. We spend way too much time. Well, this guy didn't win this. Charles Barkley didn't win a title. So it's one of the top 20 basketball players in my life. Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl. Did you ever see Dan Marino play? You don't think he was any good? Well, Andy Reid, until Patrick Mahomes, has taken a bunch of B-minus quarterbacks and won the conference, gotten the conference championships, won Super Bowls. Love the guy.
Where Colin was wrong.
Jason Garrett, I don't get. So you win 56% of your games. You only had one losing season. You're the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, biggest brand in the NFL. You win three division titles. And, you know, you weren't even a disaster this year. You did some good things offensively. And instead of just sitting out, playing a little golf, you rush to be a coordinator for a rival in your division to a coach, Joe Judge, who's never even been an offensive or a defensive coordinator. It seems like a weird brand play to me. I mean, Ron Rivera being a defensive coordinator for Cincinnati. I don't know. I saw this story and I thought, why would Jason Garrett, he doesn't know if Joe Judge can coach. That's a weird, maybe he feels good in division. He knows the defenses. He knows Dallas's defense, a little revenge at Dallas. I don't know. I thought he and Jerry were tight, but this feels weird.
Where Colin was right.
Josh McDaniels, I'm not as high on him as all you media people and fans are. Five job openings. He got one interview. I think what he did to the Indianapolis Colts, accepting a job, then bailing on him, did not sit well in the National Football League. People have a great deal of respect for Chris Ballard and Frank Reich. And that organization, Indianapolis, has always been a great NFL franchise and a city. And I think Josh McDaniels has some Lane Kiffin. I think he's smart and talented. But I think it's a love-hate thing inside the league. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he didn't even get interviews at other places. I never thought he was a good fit in Cleveland. People in Cleveland are all freaked out that he didn't get the job. I do not think he was a good fit with an impulsive owner in Cleveland, an impulsive quarterback. I think he can be an impulsive coach. I think Kevin Stefanski's a better fit.
Where Colin was wrong.
Jimmy Butler in Miami. The Heat are the number two seed in the East. The malcontent. Jimmy Butler can't get along with anybody. And then he goes to Miami for the most demanding franchise. Like, they still practice 2 hours a day, and he gets along with everybody. He's having a great year. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. You know, he's a guy that has just struggled. You know, in Philadelphia, they had all these players, and he had a great role in Philadelphia, and he got the ball in big spots. He didn't like it. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll go to Miami. I'm thinking Pat Riley, and Pat Riley is bottom line, and Eric Spoelstra's bottom line, and he works. He's having a great year. Miami's been, you know, they drafted a really good kid. They got some good young players. They play their butt off. Jimmy Butler plays hard, and Miami is young, and they play hard, and it all works, and I didn't see it coming.
Where Colin was right.
So when Conor McGregor got scheduled to fight Cowboy Cerrone, and all these UFC sycophant fanboys were like, oh, it's going to be unbelievable. It's a setup fight. Conor McGregor wants a setup fight before facing Mayweather again. That's why he's talking Mayweather, and Mayweather's surfacing here in the last month. I never bought into Cowboy Cerrone. Here's earlier last week.
Conor McGregor makes his return to the octagon against Donald Cowboy Cerrone on Saturday.
I'm very interested. I don't know much about Cowboy Cerrone. Goulet, you know anything about old...
He's 36-13-0.
Who is that?
Cerrone.
That's not a good record. 36-13-0.
McGregor's 21-4-0.
Oh, Cerrone's baloney. He doesn't have anything. Well, the fight lasted like 25 seconds. And, you know, he's got nice abs and everything. But this is just a setup fight. That's all this. It's a setup fight for Mayweather. And UFC wants to make a bunch of money. And Mayweather and Conor would fight again. And, it, you know, it's a little bit of a con. We all know who's going to win. But, you know, you buys buying into this Cowboy Cerrone nonsense.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Oh, Miami is fun. Tony Gonzalez, you've been to Miami before.
Oh, bienvenido a Miami. Welcome. Remember the Will Smith song?
Of course. Miami's joy, live there. Yeah. You look like a guy that when you lived in Kansas City, you hung out in Miami a little bit.
Ooh, I was there a lot. I almost moved there. I was looking at property when I was a little bit younger, and thank God that didn't happen. That would have been a disaster. I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
You'd have played 9 years in the league and retired.
Just done.
Kansas City actually did you some good. Just boring enough for you to concentrate on football.
I think so.
Let's talk about Kansas City yesterday. There was a moment yesterday when Mahomes went back, and I think he found, like, it was Sammy Watkins or it was somebody over the top. I forget now at this point.
Sammy.
And it was like, in that moment, you're like, okay, Kansas City's going to the Super Bowl.
Done.
And what did it feel like to you?
Oh, well, I don't know if you follow me on the social media stuff. But, yeah, I was so excited for them for so many reasons. I mean, first of all, Andy Reid, the Chief fans, 50 years, the Hunt family, watching them celebrate up in the box. I mean, this team doing something that, you know, I was there for 12 years, and we wanted it so bad.
And you were on some good teams.
On some good team, never a great team. This is a different team. This is a different caliber team. And it starts with the quarterback. Not against the quarterbacks that I played with, but this guy is a special, special player who's going to be the face of the league for the next 10, 12 years. And, you know, I'm just so happy for the whole city. It was a fun day.
You know, it's interesting. Kansas City reminds me a little of the Packers. The Packers have more titles because historically they've been better at quarterback. Len Dawson and now Patrick Mahomes are special, but they had Bart Starr, Favre, Aaron Rodgers. But when Green Bay didn't have great quarterback play, they went about 20 years where they were pretty average. I think people just don't realize Kansas City's been brilliantly owned, the Hunt family.
Yeah.
When you were there, you know, you wanted, after all those years, you got tired of it, but they treat their players great there. There's been so many great Kansas City Chiefs. If you did a Kansas City Chiefs all-star team,
yeah,
it's like 20 of the best players in league history.
Yeah.
And you were treated well.
It was unbelievable. The first-class organization, the Hunt family, like you said, remember Lamar Hunt, the owner?
Yeah.
God rest his soul. He used to come around before the games and go up to everybody and shake their hand, no matter who you were on the team, and he knew everything about you. Being, hey, how you doing, Tony? How's October? How's Nico? How's your kid? I mean, he knows everything about the players because he cares about the players, and that starts from the top. And then obviously the fans, second to none. They I know people talk about the greatest fans in the NFL, but they're such diehards. They live and die with that team. That's why I'm so happy for the whole city because they're on fire right now.
Let's go to San Francisco. So yesterday, Mahomes had a ton of time to throw. The Titans just don't generate a pass rush. Mm-hmm. So you have this gifted Kansas City team with all these weapons and 9 seconds to throw. San Francisco is not going to give you more than about 3.5 if you get that. If you ever played against the team, I felt yesterday it was almost not a fair fight physically. San Francisco is bigger and stronger, and Green Bay is a finesse team. Your early years in Kansas City, your Chiefs teams with Willie Rofe, you have the best offensive line in football. Did you sense sometimes on a Sunday you just knew people didn't want any part of you?
No part of you. No part of you. There's two games I can remember playing against Atlanta, and I think we ran for eight touchdown runs. Both running backs, Priest Holmes had four, and the backup running back had four, Blaylock. And we were just mashing them. I think we probably threw the ball maybe 10 times just like yesterday for San Francisco. And then playing against the Baltimore Ravens one time, I think it was Monday Night Football, going against Ray Lewis and all those guys. And I remember Will Shields, Hall of Famer, Brian Waters, Willie Rofe, they were just mashing them. They want no part of you. You can see when you got the running game like that, as a receiver, you know, a guy who wants to catch the ball, it's you better put your big boy hat on and try to switch the mentality and go, hey, I'm just not going to catch any balls today.
I'm going to block.
And I just got to block today.
And I felt this yesterday with San Francisco. You predicted it on the air. This is just not a fair fight.
Yeah, it's not fair. I mean, they have so many players, and that running scheme with Shanahan. I got to see it up close when I was out in Kansas City my first years there when his dad was coaching out there for the Broncos. And that zone scheme, they would just plug any running back. Remember guys were coming, I can't remember his name. He's coming. He was in the service.
Yeah, we were talking about this morning.
Mike Anderson, I think that
Mike
was.
Mike Anderson.
Yeah, he's just plug and play. And all those guys were getting, you know, 150 yards, and they're going over 1,000 yards. It didn't matter who they put back there. Nothing against Mostert, and congratulations to him. But that scheme that they have is second to none. And then on the defensive side of the ball, it's not fair. It's that Ferrari front four, I called it, where you can get pressure with four guys and drop everybody back, including Richard Sherman, one of the best ever play, you're going to have a successful defense. That's going to be Kansas City's biggest obstacle on offense is being able to get open against that front four. They're going to have to protect.
When you would play, and Kansas City is going – Patrick Mahomes, for one of the few times this year, is going to be rushed. Patrick's going to be under duress. when you went into games knowing you were facing a good defensive front, do you just shorten your routes? How does it change how you get Travis Kelce? You're Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl. How will it change for him?
I think they're going to do a lot quicker routes, some crossing routes, maybe a lot of chipping too. Sometimes you'll see maybe the extra tight end come in or Travis where he'll bang. You got to get a bang on Bosa because that guy's relentless. I've never seen a more dominant rookie come in on the defensive side of the ball. I've never seen it, what he's been able to do. So you definitely got to bang him and then get out to the flats. Andy Reid is a genius, though. He's got 2 weeks to prepare for this defense, and I think he's going to come up with a good plan.
By the way, you had a couple of byes in your career, and you lost games. Mm. Andy's the second-best coach in league history on a bye. So he's obviously very – if you give the genius another week to go into his laboratory – but there are downsides. Kansas City offensively is clever. There's some timing. Did you like buys? Like a Super Bowl is 2 weeks. It doesn't affect teams the same. Now, I can make an argument. A physical team like the Niners love a bye. They can get a little healthier. Kansas City be like, listen, we're a track meet here. We want to play every week. In your career, did you like buys?
You like it because – at least at the time, you're like, okay, well, then we only have to win 2 games to get to the Super Bowl instead of 3 games. And you think, okay, it's going to make you healthier. But there's nothing like going out there and playing to keep you. It's like anybody who's played basketball out there, you can't take a couple weeks off. And your shot's just not going to be the same.
Right.
Unless you have the extreme focus and where you're practicing like you play Michael Jordan type stuff.
Not every team does that.
Bill Belichick type stuff. That's why I always think they do well with the bye, because Bill doesn't give him an inch. He says, no, we're going to go out there like we're preparing, and we're going to practice, the Wednesday before the bye, before the week of preparation. We're going to practice just like we're going to practice that next Wednesday. And if you guys don't do it, then I'm going to yell at you and embarrass you in front of everybody. And that starts, I think, with the stars on the team. And that's where Mahomes is going to have to come in. Kelce, Clark on defense, maybe Suggs, who has some experience with this. Like, just keeping everybody focused because they're about to go through a whole bunch of distraction down there.
Now, what was the biggest game you ever played in?
NFC Championship game.
The Super Bowl, Bill Romanowski told me one time, he goes, I don't remember the first one. He goes, the first quarter, I just flashed bulbs, and I was in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even – the nerves, Mahomes is young. Do you press? Did you press a little? Was it different?
For me, it wasn't. Because I learned a long time ago when I went through my dropped second year in the league, dropping all those passes. When you study the greats and you see someone like Michael Jordan or Jerry Rice, you hear the words out of their mouth saying you practice how you're going to play in the game. And that way when the game shows up, there is no difference. There's nothing to prepare for. And that's how I prepared. Especially towards the end of my career.
You were a grinder.
I was grinding it out because I knew how precious it was to get to the playoffs. It doesn't – New England is that's an outlier. Doesn't happen. Most teams, we can go to the playoffs a couple years and then your window closes. And then, you never know when you're going to get back. So for me – I was practicing like a madman that week, focusing really just like it was the first game of the season versus the last game of the season. And then when I showed up in the games, the game would slow down because that's what you want. You want the game to be slow. That's when you know you're in control, when you're prepared, when you're not nervous. There's not too much excitement there. It's just business as usual, one play at a time.
Tony Gonzalez, the Hall of Famer, 17 NFL seasons, 14-time Pro Bowler. I will see you about a week from now in beautiful Miami. He got very close to buying a condo down there, and it would have ruined your life.
No, I'd have a nice tan, and I'd probably have a shrunk liver.